The unruffled beat of Clouds Below Your Knees by Ray Lynch means it's Thursday, 10 p.m., and time for So What's Your Story. It's the coolest place on the dial because it's the only program originating in Houston devoted entirely to storytelling. Right here on listener-sponsored KPFT 90.1 FM. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubicek, Professor of Communication Studies at the University of Houston downtown, along with the absolutely indispensable Shannon McCurchy working the boards. Now, personal narratives have always reflected the rich cultural heritage of the generations before us, and they lead us to understand how our past has influenced our present. Discoveries about our own lives become paths to self-reflection and more. However, we needn't reveal things about ourselves to track cultural meaning, because folk tales and fables that originate from every part of the world declare their own renderings of the cultures they represent. In short, the parables learn from larger-than-life personas found in folklore and fables fueled by the fanciful animals that personify the human experience help us to construct a viable understanding of who and what we are. Tonight, two classic tales, one fable, one folk tale, both served up by a couple of very special tellers, will help make that point. Brianna Carzia is a junior communication major at UHD, with an emphasis in interpersonal communication. After graduating, she plans to attend Southwestern Theological Seminary in Fort Worth to pursue the ministry. She spends her free time doing photography, playing basketball, frolicking, and standing up paddle boarding and longboarding, and being duped by B to be on the show. Nelson Garza was a reckless teenager until a good friend introduced him to a terrific woman that he was smart enough to marry. Women will do that. Nelson, you'll learn that even more as you get older, right? He continued on an intelligent path by attending night school to become an emergency medical technician. Nelson worked the advanced life-saving unit for several EMS companies until his daughter was born, and then he opted for a job that he loves even more, being a stay-at-home dad. He went back to school and graduated just a couple of weeks ago. Congratulations to you.
Oh, thank you.
To both of you, right? Brianna, you have not yet graduated, but you know, but trust me, Brianna Garcia will graduate too, because she passed the storytelling class. What more could you possibly want, right? Like Liz and Chris from last week, Brianna and Nelson are former students, and I feel very, very fortunate to have had them in class. Welcome to you both. See, now you're here, and isn't this fun?
Yeah.
Right? You're not that nervous, are you?
Excited.
It is internationally aired. I just want you to know it's across the world. Your dad is over there making faces. This is really a very nervous environment. So I love it. That's what we're all about. Brianna, you were supposed, were you surprised at all that I asked you to be on the show?
I was kind of surprised.
Why?
Well, I've been speaking and doing some events like that when I can with my dad in ministry.
Right.
So that does help me. So yeah. I'm glad I took this course. So.
And we were talking about that a little bit early. What got you interested in the clergy? I know your dad's a pastor. Tell us where your dad is a minister.
Yeah, he pastors at Bethel Baptist Church.
Very good.
So I've been just growing up in the Christian home, and ever since I was a little girl, and ever since I continued growing up, I just pastored along, or I did ministry alongside my dad.
Have you done some? Have you done actually some pastoring?
Yes. Yeah. Well, I've done like speaking engagements to like students and youth events.
Very good. Cool. Wonderful. Wonderful. Well, it shows actually. And Nelson, again, congratulations on graduating.
Thank you.
Your career plans, I know that I ask if you have any career plans, but I know you're a psych major.
Yeah.
You want to go to graduate school in psychology.
Graduate school, yeah.
You want to treat all of us here at KPFT for our abnormal.
I mean, if y'all can afford
much,
it. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty much it. Yeah, we don't even take insurance, so we've got a problem already. What area of psych are you interested in?
You know, honestly, I mean, the whole, all of psychology is very fascinating to me. I've really gotten into social psychology, but I actually wouldn't mind getting into therapy, actually.
Yeah, very good. Get into therapy or conducting therapy?
Well, both, probably.
Therapy. Yeah, we all need therapy, absolutely. What is your daughter's name?
Isabella, but you know,
Isabella.
We all call her Izzy.
Izzy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, with Father's Day around the corner, why don't you tell us how you would describe the magic of being a dad.
Oh, the magic of being a dad.
Yeah, because it's pretty magical.
It is. You know, it's funny. I was actually thinking about that the other day. You know, it's like a series of these just amazing moments that you just want to hold on to and remember every single little detail of it. It's really cool.
Yeah, it is wonderful. Yeah. It is. It's something that you can't really explain to anybody.
Yeah.
You just can't do it. Let's start with you. Let's start with your story, The Coyote and the Old Farm Dog. Mm-hmm. In a few words, what do you like about the story? It's a great, great folktale.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's something my mother used to tell me ever since I was a kid. And I always liked the fact that she used to hear it from her grandfather when she was a kid. And he used to hear it when he was a kid. So, I mean, it goes back a while, and I always thought that was pretty cool.
They all do. And technically, I was saying a folktale. This is really a fable because definitionally we have animals that personify the human condition. Mm-hmm. This is a great story about friendship on a very unique level. Mm-hmm. We're looking forward to it.
All right. Well, in a farm not too far from here, a coyote and an old farm dog share a meal every night by the fence. Now, for how this unlikely friendship came to be, you have to go back a ways. The farm dog's job was to protect the chickens from the coyote who lived in the woods nearby. And the coyote would sneak into the farm and he would, you know, snatch a chicken, which would, you know, cause a huge ruckus. And that farm dog would come chasing him into the woods. And if the coyote could sense he was going to get caught, well, he would just drop the chicken and scurry off into the brush. And, you know, that's just kind of how it went over time. And eventually this sort of mutual respect began to develop between the farm dog and the coyote. You know, they recognized each other as brothers from the same ancient ancestors. You know, they were just happened to be born to lives on opposite sides of the fence. Something got to a point where, you know, if the coyote was sensing he was about to get caught, well, he would just turn around and lay the chicken down at the farm dog's feet and say, you know, well done, brother dog. And, you know, on the few times where the coyote would make it away with the chicken, well, the farm dog would yell out, you know, well done, brother coyote. Of course, as more years went on, the farm dog got older and he got a little bit slower. The coyote, though, he just got smarter. And he started making it away with more and more chickens till finally, the farmer had to do something about it, so he brought in two new dogs, and these were vicious dogs. You know, they were trained to hunt coyotes. So when the coyote came in to snatch a chicken, you know, these new dogs were just on him, you know, snapping at his heels, chasing him into the woods, and the coyote, sensing he was going to get caught, well, he dropped the chicken, except these dogs didn't stop. They chased him into the brush. They attacked him. They tried to kill him. So the coyote barely escaped with his life. And these new dogs would come back to the farm, and they would be rewarded with a huge meal, and it was more than they could eat, but they ate it all anyway, and they didn't leave any for the old farm dog. They made him sleep out in the cold, so he was always hungry and cold, and that's how it was for time. And one day, the old farm dog overheard the farmer talking about how great these new dogs were and how he hadn't lost a chicken in months, and he hadn't seen the coyote in just as long, and he didn't need the old farm dog anymore. He was going to get rid of it. So the old farm dog went out to the woods to cry, and the coyote overheard him and came to see what was wrong. He said, "What's wrong, brother dog?" And the farm dog told him about all his troubles with the new dogs and how he's always hungry and how the farmer was going to give him away. And the coyote felt bad about that. I mean, he wasn't eating too because of these new dogs. And he wanted to help. So he said, "I'll tell you what, I'm going to help you get rid of these new dogs and show the farmer he was wrong about you. Tonight, what I want you to do is I want you to distract these new dogs, get them away from the chicken coop. And I'm going to sneak in. And with that head start, I'm going to run as fast as I've ever run. I'm going to be as slick as I've ever been. And I'm going to get away with that chicken. Then I'm going to circle around. I want to meet you here at this tree. I'm going to give you that chicken so you could take it back to the farmer and you could show him he was wrong about you." So that night, the old farm dog did just that. He distracted these new dogs, got them all the way on the other side of the farm. And that's when the coyote came in and snatched the chicken. And at the sound of the ruckus, the farmer came out just in time to see that coyote running off with the chicken and the two new dogs running from all the way on the other side of the farm as fast as they could to catch up. And behind them, you know, the old farm dog doing his best to keep up. And that coyote ran as fast as he'd ever run. He was as slick as he's ever been. And he got away with that chicken. And true to his word, he circled around and he met up with the old farm dog and he gave him the chicken to take back to the farmer. And when he did, the farmer realized he was wrong about the old farm dog. He rewarded him with a huge meal. It was more than he could eat. And so the next day, the old farm dog went to talk to the coyote and let him know how everything went. He said, "You know, it went great. The farmer rewarded me with a huge meal, but I don't think he's getting rid of those new dogs anytime soon." The coyote said, "Hold on, brother dog. There's another part to this plan." He said, "Now, I hear tonight you're having a huge party at that farm." The old farm dog said, "Yeah, that's true. In fact, all the other farmers from the surrounding farms are invited, and they're bringing their own farm dogs to help eat at the scraps from the huge feast they're going to have." The coyote said, "Well, what I want you to do is sneak me into the farm tonight. I'm going to go in the barn. I'm going to roll around in the dirt and the hay of the barn. It'll darken my fur, and I'll look and smell like a farm dog. Then you disappear for a while, and I'm going to go and eat with the farm dogs. And now when the band starts to play, I want you to start. That's when I want you to show up, and you start barking and howling. You let everybody know that there is a coyote just sitting there and eating with the other farm dogs." So that night, the old farm dog did just that. He snuck the coyote in, and he went and rolled around in the dirt and the hay so he could look and smell like a farm dog. And he went to go eat with the other farm dogs, and he was eating there. And at one point, he managed to tip over a bottle of beer from one of the farmers and invited the two new dogs to drink it up. And they drank it all up and got pretty drunk. And just when the band started to play, the old farm dog showed up and he started barking and howling, let everybody know there was a coyote just sitting there eating with all the other farm dogs. Well, as soon as the new dog saw that, they went after that coyote, and he ran as fast as he'd ever run. He was as slick as he'd ever been. And the two new dogs were so drunk that when the coyote slid underneath the barbed wire fence, they crashed into it and got all tangled up. When the farmer saw that, he said, you know what? That is it. He said, my old farm dog's better than you. He said, yesterday you couldn't even catch a chicken. He brought it back. And today you didn't even realize you had a coyote sitting there eating right next to you. My old farm dog was the only one that noticed it. He got rid of the two new dogs that night and rewarded the old farm dog with a huge meal. It was more than he could eat. And so the old farm dog went out, brought the meal out to the fence and talked to the coyote and said, Brother Coyote, I want to thank you. He said, every night I'm rewarded with a huge meal and it's always more than I could eat. He said, I want to share this meal with you. And that's exactly what they've done every night since. The coyote and the old farm dog, two brothers from opposite sides of the fence, share a meal.
Very good. All right. Great. That's a great story.
Yeah, thanks.
And you really, really tell that story well. Let me ask you something. You tell narratives very well, too. Both of you do. And you're both telling folktales, fables tonight. What's different about telling a fable than a personal story? How do you describe that?
You know, it takes... I guess I get a little bit more nervous when I'm telling a fable.
Really?
Well, yeah, because it's something that I have to really remember every little part.
Right.
And when I'm telling
a
personal story, I feel like it's more casual. I'm just sharing something that's from me that I kind of know very well.
Yeah.
And there's always that little part of me when I'm telling like a fable where I'm like, I'm hoping I don't miss this one part or that part.
That's fascinating. You know? Now, you agree with that? You were nodding your head?
Yes,
yeah,
I totally
you agree with that. See, that's amazing because the majority of people feel far more comfortable telling a fable, less nervous because... You don't have to, as long as you maintain the integrity of the story, you don't have to remember every word. You really don't. Mm-hmm. But for some reason, you disengage with the folktale. It's not you.
Mm.
You know, I'm not the dog. This isn't my family, right? I'm not really disclosing anything.
Yeah.
So but to you, it's a little bit more difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I'm pretty difficult. Comfortable talking about my life. So, I mean.
Yeah. Well, but in any event, no, that really, but that story unfolds beautifully. You sequence that very well.
Oh,
you really
thanks.
Do.
I really enjoy
And, you know,
telling
as a psychologist, you know that these stories are critical. It's not a matter of them teaching us everything there is to know about our internal self or how we reflect or our self-concept. But, you know, so many times we do look at stories as ways to define ourselves more clearly, more concisely. You know, the other day, and you guys took the storytelling class, so you probably remember me talking about this in class, but the other day a student asked, well, why is it that some fairy tales in particular end so frightening? Why are they so scary? So I said, well, for example, my favorite example is the reason why they have to shove the witch in the oven in Hansel and Gretel is because we have to make sure that witch is gone. Because you're not going to imagine turning to your daughter saying, and honey, and the witch is somewhere and we don't know where she is. Now, sweet dreams, good night. You know, no, daddy, I want that witch to be dead. So we want to make sure that which is dead, 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 dead as a doornail, right? Mm-hmm. So there's an awful lot of implications to the way we tell stories, really. Is there a parable here? Is there a message?
Yeah, I think so. I think that it's about, you know, finding that common thing that we all share.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there's lots of, you know, kind of symbolic fences, whether it's, you know, social class or whether it's borders of countries or states, you know. But I mean, in the end, we're all, you know, kind of brothers and sisters here. We're all kind of going for the same thing. We're just trying to live.
Very profound. It really is profound. We don't realize we get that from a folktale, but we do. It's about unlikeliness. It's about tolerance and diversity. It's about finding common denominators among people who don't seem to have anything in common at all. This is Hank Rubinchak with Shannon McCurchy with guest tellers Brianna Garcia and Nelson Garza on So What's Your Story? Only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston, 89.5 in Galveston and 90.3 in Livingston, or kpft.org if you're listening online. But whatever channel you chose to get here, we are glad that you are here. Brianna, you have something for us so cool and classic that it's almost rare. It's Three Little Pigs. And this is great. And I was mentioning to you before the show, we've never had such a classic tale on the show. And it's amazing because these classic tales are really the foundation of everything else that we hear. Mm-hmm. They really are the seeds for for everything else that we listen to. And with the hundreds of stories aired on this program over the years, this model folktale, because it really is a model folktale, has never been told. It was first written by James Orchard Hallowell Phillips in 1842, and then later by Joseph Jacob in English Fairy Tales. What's the allure of this story? What do you like about it?
I like it because it just reminds me that we have to be wise and take our time when we build our future, because if not, it's going to affect us in the long run.
And that's exactly it. That's exactly it. Okay, everyone, get your little kids up if they're asleep. Wake them up for a little bit of a treat. And adults, start acting like a kid. That's the only way to be an adult, according to Mark Twain. Let's hear the story.
The Three Little Pigs by Joseph Jacob is known to be a children's story. But I want to tell you, this story is also for adults. You see, when you build your future, you must be wise and take your time to build it upright. If not, it's going to affect you in the long run. Once upon a time, there were three little pigs. One day, they set out far from the land where they had been born, and they were going out into the world to start their new lives. And they were excited to start any adventures that may come their way. The first little pig saw a man carrying some straw, and he asked him, "Sir, can I please have some straw so I can build myself a home?" And the man said, "Of course, why not?" So the little pig got the straws and he built himself a lovely home out of them. Then the big bad wolf lived nearby, and he came along and he saw that there was a new house made out of straw, and he went up to the house and he said, little pig, let me come in." And the little pig said, "No, no, by the hair of my chinny chin chin, I won't let you come in." So the wolf shouted fiercely, and he said, "Then I'll huff and I'll puff till I blow your house down." And so the wolf did. He huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed until the house of straw fell in, and the wolf ate the little pig for supper that evening. The second little pig was walking down the road, and he noticed a man was carrying some load of wood. And he asked, "Please, sir, can I have some wood so I may build myself a home?" "Of course," said the man. So he got the load of wood, and he built himself a lovely home out of it. And once again, the wolf noticed another house being built out of some nice wood, and he went up to the house, and he said, little pig, let me come in." And the little pig said, "No, no, by the hair of my chinny chin chin, I won't let you come in." So the wolf shouted, "Then I'll huff and I'll puff till I blow your house in." And so he did. He huffed and he puffed and he huffed and he puffed till he blew his house in. And he gobbled up the little pig for supper that evening. The third little pig was walking down the road, and he noticed a man with a cart load of bricks. Please, sir, can I have some bricks so I can build myself a home?" And the man said, "Of course." And he gave him some bricks, so he built himself a lovely house made out of bricks. The big bad wolf came along once again, walking up to the door, and he said, little pig, let me come in." And the little pig shouted back, "No, no, by the hair of my chinny chin chin, I won't let you come in." And so the wolf shouted, "Then I'll huff and I'll puff till I blow your house in." So the wolf did. He huffed and he puffed. He huffed and he puffed. And he huffed and he puffed again. But the house still didn't come down. So no matter how hard the wolf tried, he just got upset and got angry. And he went up and crawled onto the house of the pig. He went on top of the chimney. He tried to come down the chimney, and while the little pig was waiting for him to come down with a large bucket of boiling water, the wolf fell in the fireplace, and the pig got the lid, and he covered the fireplace, and inside the wolf went there. And he made a big splash, and the little pig put the lid on it. And the wicked wolf was never seen again, and the little pig lived happily in his brick house for many, many years.
All right. Very good. I love it. But let me tell you why I like this story. I like the story, first of all. But, you know, the majority of times when people tell the story, it's designed for kids, and they're a little too animated. You know what I mean? It's like people are on Strange Pharmaceuticals when they're telling the story. Little pig. You know, come on. Give me a break, okay? Just
relax. Don't get that animated. Don't get that excited. And what I like about the way you tell the story is that you have a very conversational tone rather than a theatrical. And stories like this can be communicated really well in a conversational tone, mm-hmm. despite the fact that we're not talking about human characters, if that makes any sense. I also love the way that you carved this for adults, because it's a message equally for adults as it is for children. You're absolutely right. Take time to care for our safety. Set some foundation to our lives before we commit to pleasures is the message shared by the pigs. Brianna Garcia and Nelson Garza on So What's Your Story, only on KPFT 90.1 FM Houston. Shannon, you are a folktale fan. What are some of your favorites?
I am a fan. My favorites are the sealskin as well. I really brainstormed for this one. So
yeah.
The salt and bread, this Norwegian folktale, mm-hmm. absolutely very interesting because it has really interesting literary elements, as well
yeah.
as this Shelm.
You'll have to forgive Shannon. Helm. She's a smart person. She went to St. Thomas and studied stuff, so she's a little too intellectual for us. She's a little too smart. But go ahead. Yes, literary components, yeah.
Yes, as uh-huh. well as yeah. the uh-huh. helm.
Yeah. Right.
Helm, that one of our favorites. Those speech. Thank you.
Yeah. Great.
I'm glad
great
I
choices.
Sparked some memories there.
Yep. Very, very good. Yeah. You know, while you are talking everybody about like great things, why don't you tell us a little bit about where and when our listeners can connect with the best storyteller group in the state and our sponsor, the Houston Storytellers Guild.
Well, Hank, the Guild meets the third Tuesday of every month from 7 to 8:30 at the Multi-Service Center. That is 1475 West Gray. And do check our new impressive site at thehoustonstorytellers.org.
Great. Thank you, Shannon. And if you want to know everything about storytelling, you want to visit our So What's Your Story Facebook page, crafted by Shannon, the only person gifted enough to handle it. Shannon, what are we going to find there?
Well, I do try to post as much as I can find what I can bring you. And so I post about our weekly guests, as well as upcoming storytelling events around town. And articles about everything storytelling, such as...
A lot of things with literary elements.
Yes, sir.
A lot of literary elements on Facebook. Yes, I'm sorry, go ahead.
These articles are What Wide Origins You Have, Little Red Riding Hood. Of course, everything folklore.
Mm-hmm.
Folk tales from India. And six more folk tales from around the world to read to your kids, as well as...
Love it.
Beat the Voice of Hank Rubicek.
Very good,
featured
yeah.
article here on KPFT.
Yeah, very good. Well, thank you. Yes. Wasn't that a wonderful article? Wasn't that nice?
It was.
Yes,
it
I was kind of showcased on KPFT. I really am famous, aren't I? Yeah, it's hard to believe. I know.
I can't even say how famous you are.
Yeah, it's so famous. It's almost like, yeah, I mean, it's amazing that
I
just
stopped. It blew me away when I saw that. I go,
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
huh.
It's amazing.
I think I should post this.
Yeah.
I need to talk to him first.
I know. Thinking about posting, though, speaking of posting, Shannon's also going to post our brand new program site at www.sowhatyourstory.info on Facebook, along with my email, drhank@kpf.org, which I really should have been mentioned all these weeks, in case you have any questions and comments for us. Next week, you're going to be treated by a great stylistic teller, my guest, UHD communication professor, Dr. Shima Murray, and don't miss her, and don't miss anyone. Just make as a habit that you can't shake. All folk tales, fables, fairy tales evolve, and here's an example of what that means. I wanted to read a couple of opening interpretations of the Three Little Pig. I'll bet you don't know how many interpretations there are. Yes, I'll be happy to tell you. 406. I just wanted to share that. But let me give you two quick openings of the Three Little Pigs published versions that will just, I think, blow your mind. Let me just read these. There was an old sow with three little pigs, and as she had to keep them, she sent them out to seek a fortune, because they had to make their own way. The first one went off and met a man with a bundle of straw and said to him, "Please, man, give me that straw to build my house," which the man did, and the little pig built a house with it. The man didn't tell her, the pig, that the straw wouldn't work. And I'm thinking, really? Is that really an interpretation? Mm-hmm. But here's one that's even more ridiculous, I think. There was once upon a time a pig who lived with her three children on a large, comfortable, old-fashioned farmyard. The eldest of the little pigs was called Brownie, the second was Whitey, and the youngest one and best-looking one was Blackie. Can anyone say racist? Can anybody say that? Can we say that? I couldn't believe that. It was like the Three Stooges. I just couldn't believe that. In any event, and I'll bet that some of you are absolutely wondering why so many of these stories have the number 3. Shannon, I bet you're wondering that. No? No one?
I am. Actually,
well, it's the educator number. Part of me that I just thought I'd mention. The number 3 is commonplace in Western folktales, and it deserves a few thoughts, for example. And Brianna, I think you'll be interested in this. References to the use of the number 3 in Christianity are probably the most commonly used explanation for the non-storytelling world. It's a central tenet of Christianity, as we know, the concept of the Trinity. That is, the person of God is created by the presence of 3 persons within that God, the Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sanctifier, or more traditionally, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Now, the more useful interpretation in storytelling is this. Stories have to have conflict. We know that. Mm-hmm. And three characters, are best equipped to ignite the tension that produces conflict. The number 3 in folktales satisfies our need to create order from chaos. In storytelling, chaos results when player 1 and player 2 attempt to succeed at a task, but through their own failure or our moral shortcomings are unable to complete that task. And then the third player, naturally more powerful than the first two, succeeds. Cinderella is a great illustration. The evil stepsisters conspire against Cinderella. And a more accurate depiction of this story would be the Irish Cinderella, interesting variant, where Fair, Brown, and Trembling are the 3 characteristics of the evil stepmother to throw off the equation. It gets a little bit more complicated, but I did want to mention that because when we're thinking about the 3 bears, 3 blind mice, 3 billy goats Gruff, 3 stepsisters, the 3 stooges, A, B, and C, who knows? There's a real reason why we use 3s. It creates that level of balance, which I think is sort of interesting. Let's just talk a little bit more about the notion of storytelling and how you guys came about to become interested in this and how it works in your life. Brianna, how is storytelling going to help you in your ministry? You know that it has to help, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah.
But beyond Bible stories,
yeah,
how's it going to help?
It's going to help me just being overall just to communicate better with my audience and just to see how they're reacting so I can feed off their energy and just react to that and get better at that.
What kind of stories should you tell your daughter?
Usually stories starring her. She likes to be the
hero. Hey, great idea.
Yeah, she likes to be
right.
the one that
hey,
saves
Izzy,
the day.
Hey, Izzy, you're the star of the show. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
yeah,
little princess, that. Right? Mm-hmm. You guys, little princess. Absolutely. Who's listening tonight, other than your dad being here? Who do you have listening in tonight?
I have my family from Dallas. They're tuning in.
Hey, that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
that's
on the internet.
Cool. Yeah,
and some family here. I'm a little cousin.
And how does it feel? This isn't bad. Right? I
yeah,
told
yeah,
you it was going fast because we're almost done.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's crazy.
You know, we're almost done. I know. Listen, enchanting folk tales do a lot more than take us on a fanciful excursion into wonder and imagination. They embrace human customs and traditions, the kind that we live by. Moreover, the rhythmic beat of the words configured and images constructed by the teller of these tales do nothing short of magic. And we thank them for it. So thank you, Nelson Garza and Brianna Garcia, for your whimsical and playful styles and for reminding us that imagination is the pulse of the teller. Scooter's up next with The Inner Side to complete the backside of this Power Hour on KPFT. Make 90.1 a part of every day, and while you're driving home, turning in for the night, or just chilling out, join us every Thursday at 10 p.m. for So What's Your Story and ease into the weekend right. You keep loving a great story. And I'm going to keep bringing them to you. You be good to each other. Until next week, I'm Dr. Hank reminding you that it is never too late to live happily ever after. Peace.
Mark your calendar for Saturday, June 6th, when Ray Wiley Hubbard and Uncle Lucius take the stage at the Crichton Theater in downtown Conroe for the final show in this year's Sounds of Texas Music Series. When it comes to down and dirty rock and roll, nobody in the wide world of Americana music today does it better than renowned singer-songwriter Ray Wiley Hubbard. He's traveled across the country and internationally, and his journey has earned him widespread critical acclaim and an appearance on The Late Show with David Letterman. The evening will also feature Uncle Lucius, the eclectic indie band from South Austin that fuses old country, classic rock, blues, and jazz for a New Orleans-like gumbo. Their show at the Crichton Theater will feature songs from their latest CD, The Light. Don't miss